Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Mark Uzansky and Dave Friedman from Tone Talk.
Mark almost forgot how to operate the show.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's all relaxing on vacation and stuff.
I'm like, holy shit.
What do I do? I need a buttload of money, I bet.
Oh, man. You're going right there.
I don't
right?
even want to know.
You're going right there, right off the bat. Yeah, the vacation was awesome. It was a great vacation, but it was pricey. Thankfully, I paid for half of it last year. I paid for the airfare and
right.
And the tours and all the other shit that we paid for. Most of that was paid for last year. So, but I hope everybody's doing good. And I'm sure a lot of people took some vacations and stuff. So yeah, my family and I, we went to London, Paris, and Rome in 10 days. So it was like 3 days in each city.
What'd you like the best?
Rome.
Yeah.
Rome was amazing.
Yeah. I would figure it would be.
Yeah. Have you been?
I haven't been to Rome.
Oh.
I've been to Italy, but not Rome.
Oh, where in Italy?
Venice.
Okay.
And Florence.
I hear those. They're amazing, too.
Yes. I'd like to go back, actually.
Was that like your favorite part of Europe, going to Italy? Or?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so.
The food was fantastic in Paris too, though.
Yeah.
I love. Now, do you do like the local fare when you're like in Paris? You do escargot and.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, the escargot is so good. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's right up my alley.
Oh. Yeah. I'm not squeamish when it comes to that, man. So.
Oh, no. You got to have the escargot and buttery sauce and
bread.
Got to have that.
Oh, yeah. I was like in heaven. And I had some veal that was fantastic.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
So, yeah, the food was great. The sights were amazing. So, yeah, it was great to see it with my kids. So,
yeah, awesome.
Yeah, and I saw that you did a show. You've done a couple shows. You did
Jason Tong. Yeah, a little tech talk, so to speak. And then we did Fryette with Pete Thorne, his show,
right.
Malcontents.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I got a chance to see a little bit of that.
The show about, I'm not sure what it's about ever.
what was it about?
I'm not sure.
Okay, there was no
theme. I was on it, and I'm not sure.
Well, you guys were drinking, right?
Yeah, not excessively. Not a lot? No, not a lot. Not accessible.
Okay, that's not bad.
A couple little tequilas and a beer.
That's not bad.
Not really anything more than that.
And now Pete's back on the road, right?
Pete is on the road with Five for Fighting again. And he'll be back in a month.
Are they an original band? I'm not familiar with them.
Five for Fighting? Yeah. Yeah. They've had some success over the years, for sure.
We already have our first super chat.
All right.
What's up, Jay Busk? How you doing? I've been chasing Mick Mars Tone, and I'm having a custom-built 20-watt head modeled after his Jose Modded Marshall. What speaker should I use? Mick Mars Tone.
Probably Greenbacks, I would think. Although I'm not positive... Probably at that time it would have been Greenbacks, you know, but that would be good. Who's building you that, and how do they know what was in Mick Mars' amp? I have the whole documentation for that one.
Ooh. Crazy.
Yeah.
So actually, Dave and I were just talking offline. In case anybody is interested in Lee Jackson amps, my buddy... Craig Brody at the Guitar Broker has this crazy collection of Metaltronics amps. He's got like three or four Metaltronics, a bunch of other Lee Jackson heads. I've got my eye on something there. But just in case you guys are interested, you know, and you want to check out some Lee Jackson stuff, because he literally has a store full of these amps and heads, and it was crazy. I couldn't believe it. I went there today. It seems like yesterday. Yeah, not eating snails. I'll do an oyster, but I draw the line at snails. I'll do an oyster and snails.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Throw in some uni on top of that.
Oh, you see? Okay, you see, you just went there. Like, I the uni, I can't eat that.
Oh. I had some grilled baked oysters with uni on top recently, and it was amazing. All in a buttery sauce and everything.
Mm. If I'm right, uni is the sea urchin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God. I see that. That's the one thing where I can't eat that with sushi.
Well, then you, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that.
You're missing out.
I know. Okay. Did we answer his J Bus question about the speakers? What'd you say?
Greenbacks, I think.
Greenbacks, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, Zaba Wabo.
Maybe a vintage 30, but probably a greenback. Probably what was used originally would have been a greenback. So,
Zaba Wabo, what's going on? Great to see you guys back. No questions, just a thanks for the show. I'm super stoked to receive my custom twin sister. Oh, sweet. Thank you, Dave.
What was custom about it?
So, you working on something for him?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
But it could be Tolex or something. I'm not exactly sure.
Maybe it's something from the factory.
Yeah, I mean, like there's Tolex stuff that's ordered all the time that I have no idea.
Right.
Occasionally I go out into the the wood shop Tolex in the area and go, who on earth ordered that? Or so, wow, that's really cool. I would have never thought of that one.
Are people getting like crazy stuff, like, you know, like leopard?
I've seen it all so far. Sure.
I've seen pink. I mean, I know I saw.
Yeah, there's been tons of pink and orange and reds and, you know, crocodile. And that's always cool. And
the crocodile. Alligator.
You know, a bunch of stuff like that. So.
That's cool. Oh, Jason's here. What's up, Jason?
What's up, Jason Tong?
Thanks for you guys doing the show while I was out.
You going to ask some techie questions for me?
Yeah, let's talk capacitors. That's funny. Let's see. Tom Raines. Dave, I had a run 20 and wanted to try the JJ Jr. Does it have more gain on tap?
Yes. The BE mode has a smidge more gain than the Run 20, and then with the JBE on top of that, which is a saturation circuit, it gets even more. So yes, it has more gain than Run 20. For sure. Heavier sounding. It's also there's little differences in the power section and the resonance circuit, so it's a little deeper sounding also.
Having owned both, I'd agree with you. Yeah. But of course, that's your amp, so you know better than me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely. That was really kind of the reason why I traded in the Run 20 for the JJ Jr. because I wanted more gain.
Mm-hmm.
John, I watched the Fryette show and I'm not sure what it was about.
Are we ever sure what the show's about with that show?
That's so funny.
I was on the show and I'm not sure what we were supposed to talk about.
What goes on behind the scenes?
There's always a plan of some sort with some sort of topic idea.
And it goes out the window.
It might be brought up, or it might be brought up at the end of the show. I'm not sure.
That's cool. Mark, you've heard some songs. Not sure what that means, but I definitely have heard some songs. I'm not sure though. Ivan Moya, thanks a lot and congrats. Big fan from Chile here. Musician question is better use. Oh, I don't know, man. Sorry.
There's meaning more of that question.
Yeah, I think there's.
I think it got cut off or something.
Got cut off, yeah.
Maybe we have to watch for him in the chat here, see if we can find.
Just watched Dave's talk with Jason earlier. Yeah, that was a great talk. Guys, check it out. Okay, here's Jay's. Bryce Boyd is he has the design the circuit for Jet City. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he's just building me a 3-in-1 Jose by voicing it like too fast for love.
Okay, cool. Great.
Awesome. Dave, have you built a rig for Steve Vai during the 90s? If so, can you give us a hint on how it was structured? I love his sound at the period, and I remember seeing him with Bogner Ecstasy amps. Love the show. Thank you.
Yes. I did at some point in the 90s build him, probably in the earlier 90s, built him a rig where he was using an Eggnator TLO-100 and a Bogner Ecstasy together. And if I recall, the Bogner, he was just using, I think, the preamp section of, in some fashion, and using that into a VHT power amp in kind of a stereo setup. And then the, if I recall, the Eggnator amp was up the middle. It was mono in the center. And so it was a blend. Stretching my memory, what's in the rack? I mean, there was a couple SDE-3000s for sure. There was a rack mount Whammy. And I can't remember anything else. There's probably pictures of it out there.
All right, cool. Thanks for the question.
It was a good sounding rig, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Randy Price, I put a Duncan RTM in my Charvel Wildcard 3 last week. Probably the only A2 mag pickup I found that I like. You need to get Warren on the show. Yes, we do.
I hear that pickup's really good.
It actually is. I put that pickup in my Cali.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I really like it. It's a very good
pickup. I was just like, how can it be hotter? it's like crazy. 17K or something.
Yeah, right? It's crazy. But it doesn't play that like that. It doesn't play like it's that hot for some reason. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I have to reach out to my friends at Duncan. I'm going to have to get myself one.
Yeah, I liked it. I actually do.
And I can stack it up with the other pickups I haven't put in my guitars yet.
What other ones? Oh, the...
I still rewind. I have rewinds that I have to get around to putting in. And
that reminds me.
I probably have some other stuff too.
So first off, guys, check out our sponsors, please. Sweetwater.com. And we have a link below the channel, which is basically our affiliate link. If you click there and you buy anything, gives us a little commission on the show. Also, please go to fixpedalboards.com if you guys want to check out accessories for your pedal boards and say hi to Tim for us. What was I about to say? You just said something and I just totally rewind pickups.
Yeah.
So we are about to hit 25,000 subscribers. So,
should be 100,000, but hey,
I know it should be.
Come on, people. If you haven't hit subscribe, please.
Please. Yes. Wait, about 60% of our people who watch the show don't subscribe.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
You'll get notifications. You'll get, you know, stuff like that. And if you're a subscriber too, you know, maybe one day eventually we might do some special content or something, you know, through a Patreon kind of thing or something. And you'll need to be a subscriber then too.
Yeah. You'll have to be a subscriber. They also have through YouTube, there's memberships.
Yeah.
That we'll probably end up around someday get around to doing. But James at Rewind will give away some pickups. I don't know, one or however I have to work out the details with them. But for the 25,000 subscribers, we will be giving away at least one Rewind humbucker. So cool. I know that he said he'd donate it to the cause. So I said, okay, cool. Might as well start promoting to try to get to 25,000. You know, we're pretty close, like at just about 24,000 right now. So which is awesome. So thank you everybody who subscribed already. I mean, 20, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So Alan Twilly, thanks for the super chat. Just received my little sister first experience with this amp. I'm blown away by the edge of breakup tone. Thank you. It's so much fun to play.
Awesome, man.
It is. I've got mine right there.
Enjoy.
It's a great amp. It sounds fantastic. Let's see. Custom Tolex and grill cloth.
Cool. What'd you get?
Yeah, let us know what you got.
Do tell. What'd you get?
Let's see. Dave did me a JJ combo with an extension cabin, red Tolex, and it's killer.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. I like the white, kind of like what Chris Shiflett has.
We can tell.
Yeah, right there.
Right there.
It looks great, but it sounds awesome. Vinny, what is
it? Hey, Vinny, what's up, man?
What's going on? Vincenzo, I was in your home country. Fabuloso. it was amazing. Greg Roberts, greetings, Mark and Dave from Manchester, UK.
Hello.
I also, my friend Charlie, Liquid Charlie, met me out in London.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so he went with us to like a proper little pub. And I got fish and chips, and Blake had his first beer.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, so he got a nice tall boy of beer.
Did he really have his first beer?
Well, he claims that it was really his first official beer, because the first time he drank beer was by accident.
First official beer.
Yeah, first official beer. He said he went into a friend's refrigerator a few years ago and opened, he thought it was a Sprite, but it was a beer, and he put it away real fast. So, but that, I don't know.
No parties or no nothing?
I don't know. That's what he says. I'm,
you know, man,
these high school kids.
These high school kids today sure don't really get on with it lately, huh?
No, they're not like when I was a kid.
I probably was being at a party when I was, I don't know, 13, 14.
I mean, when we had at my friend Dan's house, we had a toga party, and there was so much beer. We had a keg there. I mean, this was like my senior year of high school. So yeah. No, it's different. It's different times. Different. I mean, it's not like, not that I don't think that that's going on, but my son's, you know, he's pretty straight laced. So
there you go.
Yeah. Even though he lives with me, so I don't know. it's strange. And my wife. What's up, Amanda? How are you?
Hello, Amanda.
And Ben. There's Ben, too. We got both Coombs. Amanda and Ben. They're related, by, in case you didn't know. Oh, okay. He's saying you've heard Five for Fighting songs. Oh, okay. Oh, I probably have. Dave, what do you think of Fender Bass Breaker amps?
Not sure. The old ones or newer ones, older ones? Bass Breaker, that's an old one, right? Isn't that? Hang on.
I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know much about it, so.
Is it for bass amps?
Oh, Bass Breaker. No, that's newer. I don't know anything about them. Fender Bass Breaker. Looking at our friends at Sweetwater. Yeah, it's a kind of a cheap 112 30-watt combo, I'm seeing. 15 watt head. I don't know anything about these, to be honest. It's a tube though. And it's a real amp.
Okay.
So that's better.
Hey guys, how would you go about setting up a personal monitoring system for live use? Butter Slack's line out to Mike Nomo to Friedman Wedge.
Oh, There's so many ways you could do that. So if you're talking about just having like a monitor, your own dedicated monitor, yes, you could do it that way. You don't even have to use the line out. You can just come off the other speaker out into the mic no more and then out to the monitor. That will work. I mean, there's all sorts of ways you could go about doing that. You could also do it with like a Cab M, Two Notes Cab M little box too, if you want an actual IR. But the little box, the Mike Nomura will work well, and it's simple.
Okay. By the way, I picked up that Tone Master Fender. Solid state. It sounds really good. It's actually it's modeled after a Princeton, right?
So it's their little modeling knob thing.
Yeah, pretty much. So it sounds really good, I have to say.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. For the price.
It has knobs.
Oh, it's an amp.
I mean, yeah, it's an amp.
It's basically looks like an amp. No one would know. Okay. Tim Connors. What's going on? Dave, do you remember what mods you did for Darren Malakian from System of a Down? I think he used the BE Deluxe on the last two singles they released.
Yeah, the mod on the Marshalls that I did for him was sort of a take on an original channel 3 of an Eggnator amp I was involved in a long time ago. I take on it because I tweaked it a little bit from there, but it was a similar mod to the third channel of an Eggnator preamp. And then later he got regular BE-100s, and then recently he got BE Deluxes. So, real recently, right before the last show they did, which was a few months ago, I think, he got the BE Deluxes. So, and he got a twin sister combo, and he bought a Pink Taco V2 combo. John Friedman crazy.
One of the guys from System of a Down is a major comic book collector.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And he has like a comic book store.
Oh really?
Yeah. I can't remember. I have to look up his name. I'm not sure what
bass player Shabo.
I honestly don't know. If I look it up, I'm sure
there's not very many. It's the bass player or the drummer, or it's not Darren, and I don't think it's Serge.
I don't know. Yes, John Doleman.
Oh, the drummer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I didn't realize. Okay. Cool. Thanks, well, Tim.
It seems like every show, everyone wants an update on the vintage line. The plexi of the vintage line is mostly done. The AC is up next. So be patient. It's coming.
Okay. So that's how you're going to roll them out?
Probably the plexi first, and then probably the AC second. But I'm not exactly sure, depending on parts allocation and things. And I'm not exactly sure if they will be. One of them will be before the probably released before the new year. So,
in 23, yeah. Wow, nice, cool.
And the other one should follow suit, not too far after that. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's coming here in the next few months.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I know you have something else coming.
There's three releases coming in the next 3 months.
Oh, awesome.
So stay tuned.
And are you, so with the launches, are you doing like the social media blitz?
Yeah. With the last launch being a big social media blitz, but the other two, there'll be some videos up and stuff, you know.
Cool.
Some good stuff up for that.
Okay. Jose G, thank you. Hey guys, just picked up a Pink Taco V2. Dave, you said that the V2 is more aggressive than your other 20 watt amps. What settings would you recommend to achieve the sound of your 68 Plexi?
Oh man. It's kind of a different amp, kind of. I mean, probably, you know, the gain structure switch in full gain mode, and then maybe the gain backed off some. Maybe let's say to 6 or 7, maybe. And I don't know if it'll, you know, the EQ, maybe bass kind of high and mids, it's 1-ish, 2-ish. Or sorry, let's 1 to 10 scale. Let's the 6-ish, 7-ish for mids, and treble probably 5 to 7, depending on the cabinet you're going into. In a lot of these settings that people ask for settings, I'm like, well, I don't even know what cabinet you're using. It's hard to.
He did say that he was using Les Pauls with humbuckers, PF style, Sassafras, Charvel, but he didn't say the cab.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the cab you're going into on that fine tuning, but that's roughly in the ballpark.
Right. Okay. Thanks. Dollar Store Rockstar, what's going on? A couple of questions. Opinion on an SL68 versus the Metro 12,000 series. Two, will Dave ever reveal what he saw inside Warren's #1 Marshall? And how much would you guys pay for a submarine trip to go see the Titanic?
Well, after what would happen, I think $0 would I pay for this. I wouldn't just go on a submarine trip.
Yeah.
oh, my God. I mean, you know, SL68 versus Metro 12 series. Okay. SL68 has a Variac built in, not a low powered mode. Metro 12 series used to have a, what sort of was like a Variac, but it was only changing the high voltage. Mm. It wasn't changing the heaters also. SL68 does it properly to do that Variac mode. You know, it's kind of apples and oranges. I mean, they're both going to slightly different specs on each one, so they're both going to get you kind of in the ballpark. Both are good quality. Both use Haybor transformers. So both have a steel chassis. I mean, you know, that is just little tiny things. And it also depends on when that 12K series was made. You know, because there were slightly different specs over time in the Metro. I have an answer for you. Just get the new 50-watt Plexi I have coming.
There you go.
With a Variac built in and all that fun stuff.
And what about
the Warren's Marshall? No, I'm not gonna. No, not exactly.
I saw
simpler than you thought. I mean, it's an old Plexi Marshall. First off, so it's got some elements of the Plexi in it, but then the circuit was changed to be something more modern. But then he runs the master on 10. There is a master on it.
Hmm.
So
was What about his SLOs? Were they modded in any way?
There were a couple of weird little things done on one or two of them. I think he has three of them, and I worked on all of them.
And I was there when you were working on two of them.
Yeah, and since then I put loops, proper loops in them, so you could use them with pedals without distorting and stuff. Nothing crazy now.
Yeah, they sounded amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's see. Okay, Tobias Ryan, what's going on? Hey guys, love my JJ through my Freeman horizontal vintage cab. Would it be worth switching out one of the V30s for a greenback to be like a 412?
I don't know. It's not. I've tried it before, and also it'll greatly lower the power handling of your cabinet. Will only be 50 watts then. So, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I did it in my Mesa 2x12.
Yeah,
I took one of the V30s out and put a greenback, but I'm not like playing super loud through it. So.
Yeah, I mean, other options for that cabinet, maybe Creamback H30s are a cool sounding speaker for that cab. The vintage 30s in that particular cab, the horizontal cab, work really well. I chose the vintage 30s for that cab because it just seemed to work well in the smaller cab. And the vintage 30s sort of provide the punch. When you compare that cab to, say, the 412 with mixed speakers, you get a similar punch out of them. And sometimes if you put lower efficiency speakers in that 212, it kind of lacks some of that oomph that the 412 has. We were trying to voice it mostly like the 412.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can't be exactly like that, but more like that. But feel free to experiment. Do whatever you want.
Give it a try. Brian S., I drank beer when I was 12, smoking cigarettes, looking at Playboys.
There you go.
Yeah.
Proper childhood.
Yeah. I wasn't.
I don't know about the smoking cigarettes, but that wasn't me either. But
not at 12.
Yeah.
I definitely had beer by the time I was 12. I mean, shit, I would go to people's bar mitzvahs or stuff, and then I would be sneaking alcohol.
Oh yeah.
So let's see. Kids nowadays wouldn't make it 5 minutes in 1982.
It's possible. Oh, shit, right? Possible.
Yep. I agree. Clyde Thorpe, Dave did me a head case for a small box combo, and it's so cool. Oh, that's cool.
Awesome, man. Yeah, 1982, you're like trying to ride your bike to the party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or hopefully get a ride from an older delinquent friend that can drive.
You know, just even it was so funny. I had called a number that Blake and I were, my son were looking up a phone number, and it turned out that when we called the number, it was busy. And I played in the sound. I go, you ever hear what this sound? Because, you know, who hears a busy signal anymore, right?
Yeah, right.
So he said, you ever hear this? And he goes, I think I've heard this in movies.
Yeah, where you had to call, you know, if you're calling your friend, you had to sort of try to catch him at home.
Right.
Because there was no, God knows where your friend was, but maybe he's at home and, you know.
And his mom's
on the phone. No, he's not here.
Or his sister's on the phone for 3 hours and you can't get it.
Right.
You got to ride your bike over to their house and just be like, oh man, I've been trying to call you.
Right.
Zabba Wabba, the custom twin sister I order is a wine Taurus Tolex with gold weave grill cloth, black chassis, and black gold Freeman logo. Oh, that sounds
nice. Cool. That sounds fun.
Yeah, very cool. Vinny, I picked up a Swamp Ash EVH Wolf this week. Found it by accident. It's awesome. I believe they only made 100. Yeah, I saw that. That's really sweet guitar. Very cool.
Cool. Is it like all Swamp Ash?
The body is.
Yeah. Like no maple cap.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the whole thing is a Swamp Ash
body. So it's similar, sort of similar to the Sassafras.
Yeah.
which is supposedly sort of like ash.
Hmm.
I don't know if it really is, but
yeah. Well, that's cool.
Cool, man.
Yep. Let's see. Isn't the base breaker the precursor to the Marsals? No.
No. Baseman.
It was the baseman, yeah.
Not the base breaker. Baseman. 410 baseman. Tweed 410 baseman. That's what Marshall copied.
Jay Stevens. Oh, thanks so much. Contribution for all the great info. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Dave, how does the 6402 greenback from the 90s compare to the original one and the modern one? Guitar Jedi.
Man, it's just so hard to do those kind of comparisons. I think the 6402 sounds awesome. I think they sound better than the new ones, although the new ones broken in can sound quite good. And if you're comparing with an old one, it depends on how beat up that old one is. This is a hard comparison. You know, it's like how worn in is each speaker and what are you comparing? You know, cause I've had old cabinets that have cool old speakers in it that sounded awful. So, you know, it's not always good. Mm. Vastly crazy different. Like I had two Blackback cabinets had the identical speakers roughly from the same year, and the two cabinets couldn't have sounded more different. So it's hard to compare. 6402 cones are cool though, for sure.
Why do you think there's such a vast difference? Is it over time being used, or is it?
Yeah, it depends on how much abuse did it get. Really abused speakers sound tired, worn in, dull, and not that great. And then new speakers generally sound like they're barely working and they're kind of bright, not much low end. And then, you know, moderately used, or what kind of environment were they stored in? Was it in a humid climate? Was it in a dry climate? Are the paper all, you know, dried out? Is it, there's lots of factors. And not to mention, no two speakers sounds the same.
Gotcha.
I mean, if you put four of the same, if you put a mic exactly in the same position on four different speakers coming out brand new, let's say brand new, all four of those speakers will sound different.
Hmm.
Yeah. When I was doing the two notes cab pack that we did, we in each of the cabinets, we listened to all four speakers.
Right.
To figure out which speaker we liked the best. And we recorded some of it. Played it back, figured out which speaker we liked the sound of the best, and then went with that one for the one that we did.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So.
So much variation.
Yeah, totally.
Alan Twilley, if it's possible, what gear would I need to use my tube amp to practice along with a track from my phone, hearing my guitar in the mix?
Hearing your guitar in the mix. I mean, you know, the one thing I could say is you could mic up your cab and set, you know, use a DAW, you know, use a recording interface, and then you could listen back to everything, you know, play
right
something from your phone into your computer and yeah, I mean that's a little hard.
Yeah, I don't really know like an easy way. I mean,
that's really that's the way to do it, kind of.
I mean, what I do in here is I've got my computer with monitors. I just play music and then I'll just play the guitar to it.
Yeah,
you know, I just turn it up loud enough to jam to.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you wanted to do that or something like that, and you want to practice, I would just say get like a. What is it? The Spark amp, you know, a little Spark or.
Yeah. And can't you do an aux track into that or something, or an aux like out of your phone into the thing?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You could do something like that. Yeah.
You can play, actually, you can play backing tracks out of the thing and everything. So, just to practice.
Hell, you could even do it with, you know, something like I have something laying around here. This Ampero 2 Stomp, right? That is a little modeler kind of thing, effects unit, but it's got an aux in on the side. And, you know, you could even do it with something like that. You know, a lot of units have that kind of thing.
Right.
By the way, this is possibly the coolest thing ever.
I haven't seen it. What is it?
Ampero 2 Stomp by Hotone. Right. It is an unbelievably powerful, well, it is a modeler, but it's also a multi-effect unit. And it's all touchscreen. Mm. And it's like possibly the best possible user experience that I've ever had out of anything.
Mm.
It's so easy to get around on and makes so much sense on the touchscreen. You don't even need to look at a manual. It's awesome.
How much?
Really, really cool thing. It's like $4.99.
Wow.
It's really quite nice. Everything about it's really nice.
Competing
looks
with
like an Eventide kind of. Does kind of everything. And the cool thing is they really modeled things like for effects like 2290s in here.
Hmm.
And like you know, a Klon and varying kinds of tube screamers and you know, exotic RC booster and Aryan stereo chorus and like all these stuff that is like really pretty boutique and niche-y, you know, kind of stuff. And
right,
they really did their homework. It's
awesome. And they have amps in there too.
They do. They have all sorts of amps. I mean, it can be a full-fledged modeler. It comes with Celestion IRs in it.
Wow.
So it could be a full-fledged a modeler, and they sound pretty good. All the way to, I mean, where I'm really like interested in it is for effects.
Right.
Yeah, to use with amps.
Wow.
And the routing possibilities, everything about it's really, really, like, they thought of everything. But mostly what I like, unlike so many things on the market, it's very easy to use. It does a ton of stuff, but it's extremely easy to use.
Mm.
And that doesn't happen these days.
No.
Not at all.
Not at
all. Line 6 makes stuff very confusing a lot of times until you learn their whole process. Eventide, oh, we won't even talk about that one.
Even the new Boss delay that I got, I was like,
oh, the EVH one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a little deep.
Yeah, it's like overly confusing.
It can be overly confusing. I absolutely agree. It can be.
Yeah. Stay Curious is curious about, has demand been still crazy for you?
For amps? So it, you know, it's dipped since the high of the pandemic for sure, but we're still, it's not quite as crazy as it was, but it's still a good, nothing to be too worried about. Yeah. Yeah. Still good.
That's good. Stephen Douglas, Dave, have you ever modded a Marshall 206-1 reissue? Mods like an effects loop, added gain stage, or foot switchable? That's the little PA. It's a 20 watt, a 206-1.
Oh, it's the two six one. Oh, it's like the 18 watt thing or the. It's the 20 watt reissue.
Yeah, the 20 watt.
I have. Never, but I'm sure it wouldn't be a big deal to do it. But then again, I mean, you have one? If you have one, maybe, yeah. But, you know, how much was it?
Yeah, I sadly sold mine, but they're really good amps. I mean, I think new ones are How much is a new one? I don't know.
I'm looking for that. I think, I don't think.
They don't have one. They're no
they don't longer, make them anymore, I don't think. They don't
make them anymore, yeah.
Typical Marshall.
Yeah, that's like, why aren't
they? They like to discontinue things. You know what does come out really good, though, is the, well, one of two things come out really good, actually. The you know, SV20 H from Marshall, the 20 watt head, flexi head, and also the PRS Hendrix 20 thing. That can be made to sound great also. Although I did to the one I had of that was modded it to be more like less of a Hendrix amp and more of like a Super Lead Plexi. And that thing came out awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ray Hawkins, I'm going to get the AC. Stoked you're putting out some new stuff as usual, Dave.
Cool, man. Awesome.
Yeah. And Vinny says a dealer told him the EVH is coming out some really cool stuff soon. I saw that they just came out with a
Japan.
Yeah, the Japan line of the Signature series.
Mm-hmm.
Still no lefty.
No.
Still no lefty.
Always lefty. Leaving you out. They never think of you, Mark.
No, no love.
No love.
No respect. Who needs NAMM with these releases before the end of the year? Well, I mean, there's still more releases that'll probably happen.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't think the industry revolves around NAMM anymore.
Yeah.
So, I know it doesn't for us.
Dave, how would you describe the channel one of a JJ Junior 20 now looking back compared to what you wanted it to be?
I mean, it's a gain stage in front of the power amp. It's really simple. So it's kind of like a normal channel of a Vox, sort of. A little different. The same concept, same signal path-wise. It's just my simple clean. It's good. It can be really good. You know?
Dave, what are the chances of you making a train wreck style vintage line?
That would be interesting and fun. Yeah. I don't know. They'll probably be off the top of my head. The AC thing will be covered. The Plexi thing will be covered. The next thing I kind of wouldn't mind doing is like some sort of compact, cool, The concept I always had was like, if you think about the size of a Princeton amp, but make it a little more power, like more like a Fender Deluxe, but like just a single channel with some reverb, in more of a Princeton size cab, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that would be a really compact, really awesome little clean platform. I don't know if I can do that one at a price point that would make sense, though, you know. Mm-hmm. But I would like to do something like that. And but the train wreck's not a bad idea. If so, I would probably go with the Liverpool.
Yeah,
train wreck. I would think
the one Pete had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a feeling you took a look at that circuit.
I actually didn't.
Really?
There's a lot of documentation out there that, you know.
Really?
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I'm not going to touch a, I don't know how many $1,000 amp.
$50,000 amp. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. Let's see. Michael Gilfrey. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. I have a new Mesa Mark V head. After playing it for 10 minutes, the volume completely cuts out. I replaced all tubes. I'm still having the problem.
Hmm. No idea. Just by chance, did you try putting a jumper cable in the loop? I assume you're not, when you're testing this, you're not using the loop and or anything in front of the amp, because that can always cause issues with things. It could be like dirty effects loop jacks. I'm not exactly familiar enough with that head to know if that's an issue or not. But try a little jumper across the effects loop, if not, and see if it comes back alive. Could be just something like that.
Interesting. Dave, what was the Hotone product that impressed you?
Ampero 2 Stomp.
Okay.
Came out like a year ago, or a year or so ago. It's amazing. Michael Nielsen did a little video on it. Although he needs to do more, because I've been digging kind of deep into it, and man, it just sounds good. It does everything and sounds great. Including with an external loop, if you wanted to do a four cable method, or there's all sorts of ways you can route it and do things with it.
By the way, I saw it earlier. I wanted to comment. What's with the Foo Fighters cab behind you? Or
oh, the rack?
The travel rack, yeah.
It got dropped, and there's a little issue with it I got to fix. So,
whose is that? Chris Shiflett?
Yeah. That's one of the two rigs I built for Chris Shiflett.
He's doing a cool show I saw. Did you see?
Mm-mm.
I think it's going to be on YouTube or maybe some other platform, but it's where he gets other guitar players on and they actually show how they play their iconic riffs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I forget what it's called, but I was like, oh, that sounds like a good idea. And he's like, yeah, you know how you go on YouTube and you see somebody play it kind of right? He's like, well, I'll have the guy on here who'll show you exactly how to play it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's cool.
And then someone will go, he's not playing it right.
Right, yeah, exactly. Well, I play it differently. So
he's not playing it right. Back in 19 da 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 da, he played it like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the video. And here's the close up of his fingering.
Absolutely. Shocked and persuaded. Thank you. A being a plexi and a Shulman reverb, taking line out from a plexi and sending it to a full wet SA collider and using a normal channel for set effects. Can I bypass the normal preamp and go right to power section without issues?
Hold on a minute. Yeah. You're taking a line out from the plexi, sending it to a full wet. SA collider. Collider is from the pedal, right? Isn't it? SA collider.
I think it's a pedal.
Using normal channel for set effects. The normal channel of your plexi or the normal channel of the Shulman? I think the Shulman.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because you wouldn't feed the line out back into the same amp. That wouldn't work very well.
He's taking the line out from the plexi, sending it to the collider into the normal
channel. Could you bypass the normal preamp and go right to the power section without issues? You could, if you knew how to do that. It might be good to have a little bit of makeup gain, though. There's a way you could modify the normal channel to not have an EQ on it and just use the first stage as the recovery stage and then into the power section on it. Yeah, it could be done. That would work well. But then again, if it's all the way wet, you can probably get away with just using the normal channel and setting the EQ, say, around half, or you can really EQ it any which way you desire, because literally that's just all wet. I mean, you're just EQing the tails of delays or whatever. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Didn't Van Halen do something similar like that with a plexi and then a Fender?
Who knows?
At some point.
Maybe.
Vinny has a question. Super chat. Thank you. YouTube on my phone won't let me just contribute $20. Oh, $19.99 will do. Thank you. Mark, where's my vino from the old country? I drank it all, bro. It's very sorry. Customs wouldn't let me bring it. Just joking. Dave, I have a Marshall 1960A cab. What makes a good cab outside of the speakers? What matters the most?
Wood it's made of. Really, it's Baltic birch. You know, you want to have a cab. I mean, that 1960A cab is made of Baltic birch. I like the overall design of Marshall cabs, the way the construction of them. But you know, Baltic birch and the way they're put together, the thickness of the wood also. 5/8 Baltic birch or whatever that is in millimeters.
Now, like, they used. Orange cabs would be, like, thicker and bigger. Like, how do they compare?
Orange cabs are constructed differently. The way the baffle board goes in is a little different. The cabs are, I think, a thicker wood also. I think it might be closer to a 3/4-inch wood. Mm-hmm. Too thick, it makes it stiff. Okay. But they're also done with Baltic birch, or at least older cabs were. I'm not really positive what new cabs are made of.
Okay. Gotcha. Thanks, Vinny. Bruce Hawkins, if you can or want to say, will the 50-watt vintage Plexi have a master volume?
It will have a master of sorts on it, yes.
For sure.
There you go.
Play the Pink Taco for about 5 minutes with it and not being plugged into a cab. Will it hurt? Seems okay. Nah, you'll be fine.
If it works, it's fine.
Stephen Massey. Hey, Dave, would it make sense to put 6V6s in Fender Blues Deluxe? I want more compression like a Magnetone Supro.
I don't necessarily think you're going to get more compression. You're going to get less power. Could you do it? Yes, it could be done. At least I think. Yeah, no, it should be fine. You're not necessarily going to get more compression, though. I mean, maybe it'll distort sooner, and as you turn it up, maybe a little bit, but I wouldn't think so.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the lightweight Neo speakers?
I mean, the Neo Creamback's okay. I haven't totally loved Neo speakers generally. They just sound a little weak to me.
Okay. I noticed that Fender.
I mean, they can work. I mean, the Neo speaker in the Celestion Creamback Neo is pretty good. It's not my first choice, but yeah.
Well, Fender was putting those Neo speakers in, like, these Tone Master amps. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped and they went back to regular Jensens.
Mm. Mm.
I think people were complaining they didn't sound as good.
Mm.
What's your favorite rack mount stereo power amp?
Oh, man. Tube power amp?
I'd imagine.
That's a very good question. You know, the funny thing is, believe it or not, I don't think anyone's ever really made exactly what I wanted. I mean, a VHT 252 I liked a lot. That's a good amp. 50 watts aside, EL 34s, I like that. Mm. There used to be some power amps made by PV a long time ago that were cool. The classic 5050 and classic 120. Those were pretty great amps, actually. I mean, VHT kind of ruled the roost mostly with, you know, their varying things. I mean, 2150 when it first came out was a cool amp. But I kind of like the EL34 252 the best out of those. Solid state amps. I love an old H&H V800. It's a really good amp. Sounds great.
If you can find them.
Yeah, if you can find them. Exactly.
Joe Jenkins, Dave, what mods can be done to the Marshall Origin 50? Thanks for everything you guys do for the guitar community.
Oh man, a whole bunch of things can be done to the Origin 50. They come out pretty good. I mean, don't go crazy, but I'd rather just do a single channel something. But I'm not going to do switching mods in those amps or anything. But a single channel of some high gain thing, you totally could do it.
Okay.
You can get them dirt cheap.
What are your recommendations for breaking in speakers? White noise, pink noise, feedback?
Well, I mean, you can do it with a Variac, actually. You can hook up a Variac to a set of speakers, and it hums through the speakers. I think it's like for a... There's some calculation, and you might have to look it up, but I think we looked this up recently. I think it's like 9 volts you put through, like, say, a 4x12 cabinet, and all the speakers will be going. Although that's not my favorite. What I used to do is I used to put the cabinet face down on the ground, put a 100-watt amp through it with a fucking loop, a loop going through the amp, and like leave it there for like 3 hours.
You mean like a looped riff or something?
Yeah, but good luck. Good luck having a place to actually do that at. Yeah, I can do it at my shop if no one's here.
Right.
But it's loud.
It's loud.
Yeah. That was my favorite way, though.
Jason Tong says, Dave, I tried one of those. Is it Hotone? Hotone? How do you say it?
You know what? I don't know exactly how to say it. Is it hot tone?
Hot one?
Or is it ho tone? Or is it hot one?
Yeah.
I really don't know the actual pronunciation of it. I always say ho tone. I don't know because it makes sense to me. But
right.
Or I've heard people say hot tone also, but I'm not sure.
Okay. So that's cool.
So you tried one of those last week, and God, man, that touch screen is so awesome. The effects sound really great in that thing.
Yeah, Mike, I'll have to check out Michael Nielsen's.
Yeah, demo. He did a demo, but he kind of limited on what he did. But he talked about doing a more in depth video on it. But you know, even when I was playing with, you know, just for fun here, hooked up to the computer and playing with the amp models and stuff. Yeah, it was really good. And there's some really good videos on YouTube of people that got some amazing sounds out of it and stuff.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
But again, I was looking at it for an effects unit. I think it's a great all-in-one effects unit because it's so easy to use, but so deep at the same time.
I'm curious of your thoughts on this, if it's what I think you're going to say. Does Dave have any thoughts on new old stock preamp tubes for amps?
Okay, well, I mean, they can be great. You're going to pay through the nose for them. And good luck. If it's a high-gain amp, you're going to put it in. What if you pay through the nose for it and it's microphonic? Then you're pissed off. So it's kind of chancy on that. They can sound great. I would only use it really in one slot or two, you know, maybe the first slots or things like that, you know. I have buckets of like old NOS tubes here, and, you know, every once in a while I pull one out and put it in something. And it can be cool.
I was going to say, good luck actually finding a real NOS tube these days.
It doesn't really matter, even if they're used. They're still got life in them.
Right. If it still tests, okay.
Yeah. It's fine. Preamp tubes don't really, like, unless they're having a problem, So meaning crackling, hissing, noise, or utter failure. Other than that, they pretty much work forever. It just doesn't wear out.
Right.
You know, if it eventually fails, that's one thing, but it doesn't really wear out.
Okay. Dave, has anything changed as far as tube availability or manufacturing?
Well, I mean, any Russian tube is still a shit show to try to use. You can't, pretty much can't. Yes, I mean, it's easier to get JJ's now. They're in more available shipping and not all back ordered anymore. All the prices have gone up. JJ is not too bad, at least for us. And as far as the Chinese goes, they're still supposed to be, Shugang supposed to reopen still. I'm waiting to see the samples that are supposedly coming to me eventually. we'll see if that happens, and we'll see if they can even still make a tube anymore.
Hey Dave, I have a twin sister and a JJ Junior. I'm looking to buy something a little more 800-ish, something with more upper mids. Any recommendations? Is there an 800 coming in your vintage line?
No, not exactly. Generally speaking, I hate 800s. I mean, an 800 by itself is not like the greatest thing in the world. It's generally speaking a little loose in the low end. If you hit it with a pedal, which everyone pretty much would do, then it tightens it up and then it gets good. It's just not all that to me. I mean, old Plexi was all that to me, you know, that's more where my head was at. But, you know, like our Jakey Lee amp that we had, it had an 800 channel in it with a slightly tighter front end. And there might be a little amp coming that might have that also in it soon, shortly.
Yeah, I think we saw a hint of that.
I think you did.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Dave, anything on bass rigs? Are bass amps and cabinets evolving like guitar amps and cabinets? If not, why the disconnect? And I will be right back.
Bass rigs. I mean, most bass players these days are going with kind of a lighter bass rig, you know, like more compact, easier to carry, class D oriented, which kind of lacks balls. Most class D amps don't really have any sort of balls to them, so to speak. But no, I mean, no, because bass players don't, generally speaking, aren't generally, you know, like guitar players are looking for sounds and things. And bass players is more of a replicated, you know, slightly grindy maybe, or clean, replicating the bass. You know, it's not as fun of a design, you know. Mostly big low end and clean, you know.
Okay. Mark, is the Tone Master a keeper? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I really like it. I think it's super light. I wanted something that I can just grab and go, like really light, and have enough power, throw a pedal into it, and so
cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little
put a BOD into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom.
Yeah. Pentatonic Prancer. Hey, Mark, welcome back. Thanks, man. Dave, is it worth mounting a Marshall SV20 Plexi to EVH spec, mid pot, fat cap, etc.?
I do that all the time with those.
Huh.
A lot of times I don't do the mid pot on them. It doesn't necessarily have to do the mid pot on it. But I kind of make all the rest of the spec proper for, you know, that sort of thing. And because it's cathode biased, you can use it on Variac too, and you don't have to rebias it or anything. Works pretty good.
This comment really got me. First of all, great name. Long Slong Slow Silvers. Has everybody reported their wall voltages this evening?
That's okay. We don't need to do that tonight. Yeah.
That's so funny. I think we did that one show. We were like, okay.
Yes. Well. Everyone was reporting in from all over the world.
Yeah. That's so funny. Dave, I never seen smoke in Detroit in my lifetime. Almost feel like I'm in LA.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That shit's, I hear about that. That sucks. Dave, did James Brown design the PV VTMs?
Yes.
Oh, he did. Okay. That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he came in on the, originally he came in, I think he said he came in when the Butchers, on the Butcher series originally. Pretty sure. And then the VTMs are a derivative of the Butcher. Same, actually, same kind of circuit board, same kind of layout, just with added features. VTM's a cool amp.
Mm-hmm.
Can be.
Yeah, I think if you hit it in the right, if you set it up the right way, right?
Well, if you set it up the right way, you can also mod them to be cool.
Okay. Dave, follow up to the Mesa Mark V question. I should say that the volume drops by 90% versus cutting out completely. Nothing in front or back of signal chain.
Still try a jumper in the loop just for fun.
Dave, is a PQ3 and GE10 style EQ still coming in the future?
Man, I kind of wanted to do that. I don't know if... there might be a new, somewhere in the future, there might be a new Buxom Boost that has a sort of parametric style mid-range, which is actually really cool for boosting and things. That might happen in the future. I have a prototype of it. I just don't know.
Okay. Combustion, thank you. Besides the Butterslax cab, is there anything else in the market like it, custom made 4x15?
There's nothing that I know of that's like the Butterslax cab, the 215s and the 212s. That's just kind of an insane idea, but we did it. And it happened to work. Custom 415, man. Could it be done? Maybe. Do we have time to do it? I'm not so sure. Marshall used to make them a long time ago.
That'd be huge.
It's big.
Yeah.
it's cool though.
I'm sure.
Yeah, there's vintage Marshall cabs that are 415s.
Will you ever do a new voice and get away from the Brown sound?
I mean, what's the Brown sound really? Yeah. I mean, I don't really, I mean, some of what I do in the amps aren't a Brown sound already. I mean, you know, and they can be much more modern sounding, a new voicing. Yeah, sure. I mean, like there was new voicings and things. I mean, like the Jakey Lee version was totally different than the BE, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, Twin Sister is different than the BE. So what sort of voicing are you looking for?
Unless you're looking for something completely new, like something we've never heard before.
Which no one wants.
Right.
which is proven that no one wants it.
No one wants it and it won't sell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a buddy of mine is like, they need to come out with a fuzz amp instead of distortion. It's just like a fuzz box. I was like, well, just put a fuzz in front of your amp.
Yeah, right. Get a high headroom amp, stick a fuzz in front of it.
Right. But anyway, Randy Price, my buddy just bought a 6505 MH and an EVH 212. Can't turn the gain up past 10 o'clock or else the sound starts clipping and gets real muffled and staticky. Is it the speakers breaking in or something else?
10 o'clock. That's hard. That's a hard description. You should be able to get the gain up past 6505 MH. What does MH stand for? I'm not even
sure. It's a mini head.
Oh, the mini head. Oh, God knows. I've never played with one of the mini heads. I have no idea. Could be some issue with the head, I would think.
Yeah,
212 should be okay. I mean, I guess you can't turn the gain up, not the volume, the gain.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a problem with the head.
Sounds like it. Super Chicks, what's up, guys? Hope you're both well. Thanks. Hope you are well as well. Dave, can you build me a TS head shell? Twin sister head shell for my combo. Same for small box combo. Want to use the heads without the combo.
Sure, no problem at all. We do it constantly. People are asking us for that. Just send me an email and then I'll hook you up with Jerry, our guy at the factory, and he'll give you a price on it and get it going. You want any crazy color? Because you could do that too. How about lime green?
Yeah. Richard, yeah, that's interesting that Fender switched out the Neos. Yeah, they did on, I forget which model it was, but they had the Neos in it, and then when they came out with a different, like the blonde version, they went to the actual Jensens. Let's see. 40 grit. I just picked up a new Friedman Billy Rowe. Nice guitar, Dave. Superior paint job. Is there any? Is there only one of the Relic three-tone purple black?
Oh, you're the guy that got that. The purple black, the Cali one. That's a crazy guitar. Mm. Yeah, you emailed me, right? About the pickup thing. I still want to know about that too, because that's a crazy color. I mean, it was like three colors, and it was like a Cali, and it's like black, but then purple underneath, and then something underneath that, and it's all worn away and really beat up. Really cool. Is there only one of those? There may be only one of those. There might have been another one that was sort of similar to that one. But I think currently, at least, there's only one of those. And no two Relics are the same anyway, so. But that's a cool guitar.
Cool. Glad to see they're coming out. James McNair. Hey, Dave, I got a BE-50 Deluxe, and I love it. Can the clean channel be modded to have a gain control, or can it be modded with a plexi clean with gain control like the BE-100 Deluxe?
It can, it's kind of about a $400 to $500 mod to do it, because it's kind of a lot of work, but it can be done. I can give it full plexi channel.
Dave, I'm reading Tone Chaser. EVH said his pedal board smoothed out his sound. What might he have meant? Were the MX pedals shaving off high end?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like stock, all that stuff at the time was not true bypass at all. And he just seriesing one into the other. And it'll roll the top end a little bit, absolutely. And then generally, from what I understand, generally the EQs were put sort of at the end of the chain to make up for some of the losses that he got through it. So yeah, sure. It would shape, just like Hendrix stuff would shape the tone into his Marshall amp. The curly cord into the wah that's not true bypass into the other thing that's not true bypass. And I remember years ago, I had an amp, a modified amp that I loved to use, and I only liked how it sounded with a MXR, old MXR Phase 45 pedal plugged in line off. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Sure.
And I think I read that he, when he would use the phaser, he liked, he didn't, he, the reason why he turned it down so low is because he wasn't really using it for the phase. He was using it for, it would bring back some high end and kind of, cut through.
Yeah. I mean, it was still phasing even low, but
right. Yeah.
Slowly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Roger Dat, what's up? Aloha Friday, gents. Dave, Twin Sister Private Reserve is warming the knuckles of my happy places. Thank you, Brosif.
You're welcome.
What's this?
I don't know if it's really a private reserve. You kind of put that out there. It's a standard Twin Sister, but you know, I mean, I might have handpicked the tubes and stuff, but you know, that's about it.
Okay, you got a little special attention.
Yeah.
Okay, that always helps. Combustion Dave, I'll send you an email tonight, tomorrow, so you have my info for the cab order.
Okay, no problem. Friedmanamps@gmail.com, if you don't know that.
Thoughts on the DOD 250? Ever done any mods to the 250 style pedal? Have a few pedal variations. They all sound killer with BE and HBH channels set to a medium gain. I've never used one of them.
250 can be good. It depends on what era 250. The really old 250s had more low end in them, and the later 250s had more low end shaved out and generally were better for boosting, like Marshalls. Like the YJM 308 is more, you know, the one that was more low end shaved out and stuff. They're great. They're a great boost. There's not tons of gain in them or anything, but they're an awesome sounding boost into a Marshall-y kind of amp. I think they're killer.
Paw guitars, question for Dave and the left-handed guy. What's your favorite acoustic guitar? Thank you very much for the show. Thank you.
Favorite? That's tough.
I mean, I own two Taylors.
Taylors makes a great, beautiful guitar.
Yeah.
You know, Martin makes a nice guitar. Old Martins especially are great. D18, D28 are killer guitars. Old ones. I mean, there's great ones. You know, Gibson, oh, what is it? J120 or whatever.
Yeah.
Is killer. But there's a bunch of old Guilds that are awesome acoustic guitars. Acoustic guitars really have their own personality. Kind of like you almost have to play them and really like listen. And are you going for a big body sound or a smaller bodied sound? And there's some factors here.
I saw some crazy awesome acoustics today at the guitar broker.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, he had a 1955 Martin left-handed small guitar. It was like tiny.
D18?
I don't know that I'm going to find out Monday. I'm going back on Monday. I didn't have a lot of time today to hang out there, but it needs a little work, but the price on it was crazy. It was like $6,000, you know. But he had a bunch of other lefty Martins. I was just like, oh my God, I can spend all day here.
Cool.
Yeah. Dave, does power cord length affect tone or anything else when using two heavy gauge 10 to 12 inch power cords with brown box? Do you solder make custom power cords for rigs or use normal production lengths?
Man, just use whatever. Just use an IEC cord from Walmart. Doesn't matter. Mm. I'm not one of it.
You don't buy into that?
There's so many variables. Okay, so say you guy get this really great audio file, huge AC cord, and maybe you think it sounds different. So, but you're plugging this big cord then into the wall, or plugging it into the brown box. Well, what wires are coming from where it plugs into the brown box to the actual little switching in the transformer that's in there, and then back out again? What gauge wire is that? Small, way smaller than you than you're using, you know. So it, no, okay. don't get caught up in it.
More guitars. Gig my twin sister live instead of my usual Wildwood small box 50. Incredible. We used to be a two guitar band with what's 2B.
We used to be a two guitar band.
Oh, we used to be a two guitar band with small box. Now I'm on the only guitarist. Maybe the twin sister gives a wider spectrum. 20 watt Jakey Lee. Take my
could
money.
Be. Could be. Maybe you might see. Maybe in a month or so.
Bradley Peel, thanks for the super chat. Dave, what do you think of the Thomas Blug Amp One stuff?
Thomas's stuff is awesome. I think it's really good. I mean, I think I like that Iridium version. And he's got his new thing, which I haven't really played with at all. But the Iridium version was kind of cool for a heavier kind of, you know, more hard rock kind of thing. It's awesome. Thomas is a cool dude. Love him.
Yeah, Thomas is great. Really great guy. And he knows tone.
Yep.
Rob's Tone Zone. Dave, just wanted to say thanks for all you do. Mark, thanks for adding to the show. Dave, I have your scotch, I promise you. Just need to ship it. Oh, nice.
All right.
Thank you.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Modern Vintage. Thank you. Would a Klon that has not been used for 20 years have any issues or parts that go bad from it not being used, like audio gear with caps and older parts?
Not really. I mean, you might need to clean the jacks or maybe clean the pots or something, but it should be fine.
Aren't Klons all gooped over anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's not much you're going to change anyway.
Right.
Can you imagine if someone bought like a, you know, $2,500 Klon or something, and then like, you know, several months later, just stop working.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened.
Ah,
like, what do you do at that point?
Fuck. hopefully it's something you can get fixed and or easy, like a jack or something.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Yeah, right.
Question for Dave. Can you tell me how many Canadian dealers are selling your guitars besides Lausen Music and Cosmo? Thanks a lot for this awesome
show. Man, you'll have to look on I mean, probably mainly those two, but you'll have to look on our website, and it has a dealer locator thing. I have no idea. I'd have to talk to our sales guy. Okay. I know our guitars over the last course of like the last year have not been widely available, or at least in 2022 they weren't that widely available, but there are lots of them are coming in now and going out. So
we answered this before. We said yes he did. Great show. Do you have an opinion comment? Palmer audio products from Germany. Thank you.
All the Palmer stuff is top notch, good stuff. Depends on what specifically you're looking at, but it's all really good stuff. I use them. Have used things from them for years.
Sound for Less in Winter Haven, Florida has Freeman guitars in stock. Oh,
never. Yeah, Sound for Less.
Never heard of them.
Yep.
Hit the thumbs up, everybody. Yes, please do hit the subscribe. Check out sweetwater.com, fixpedalboards.com.
If you are watching this right now and you're not subscribed,
what are you doing?
Come on. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Come on. And he clicked the bell too. Zabawa, well, Dave, having you handpick the tubes is something that could be requested? Question mark. What would be the cost for something like that?
Oh man. She just keep my mouth shut. That's a very good question. Are you buying a new amp? Do you have an amp? I need to know more information. I mean, if you're buying a new amp from me or us, or email me about this. And there's lots of variations of what does it mean to handpick the tubes? So it's like, put my favorite that I like in this particular amp in it on this one-off, even if it's different than production. Is some of the tubes NOS-y kind of tubes, or, you know, there's lots of
variation,
lots of ways to go.
Yeah, it depends.
It depends.
Alex 2112, have you guys ever had the Sierra Tone guy on? We have not.
That might be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have on.
So tell me, what's it like copying everyone else's amps?
Yeah. What's the next amp you're going to copy?
Yeah. Which other amp in my line are you going to copy next?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's okay. I mean, I do have to say that he does do a very immaculately neat wiring job of his amplifier. So not so sure if I love the transformers, but. But then again, some of them have been pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard good things about his stuff.
Yeah.
For years. So.
Yeah.
Tom and Lisa, nice to have you back, Mark. Hey, thank you. Dave, why do so many love the Jakey Lee amp? What makes the tone special?
Well, man, I got to say, it's a bright amp. It's an aggressive amp. It's kind of a man's amp, you know. It wants to, the 100 watt wanted to be played. It wanted to be played loud. It just sounded better as you turned it up, you know. It wasn't like a really quiet bedroom amp. It's just very percussive and punchy, bright and open, and it's a cool amp. Right, yep. Jason? Are you still in the chat, Jason? You have one. But you probably paid way too much money for it. One? Yeah.
That's cool.
What do you think of it?
Mark, you need a VTM. Quit screwing around. Great job on the show. You're a real unsung hero. Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that, Chris.
You know, I got to say about the VTMs, I like... a VTM was a butcher that they added response switches to and some features out of a Jose amp that belonged to Mark Ferrari. So that's the story with that. So there's a saturation circuit in it out of a Jose. There's the gain stages. You can mess with the gain stages and mess with... There's a couple switches that'll change the presence frequency that the presence is working at. So three different settings you could really get a combination of, anywhere from a 0.1 cap to a 0.22, and then it switches to a 0.33. So if you put all the switches on, it's a 0.33. And then there's... can change the amount of gain the second gain stage has, kind of like on my structure switch. You can, if you know what to switch, you can get it pretty close to the Jose signal path. There's a few little things that are different, that make it a little, just a little slightly. It was like they combined the Butcher, which was an 800, basically a JCM 800, and the Jose. And the power section is a little different. It's not EL34 power section. It's kind of PV's version of a cool power section, but it's good. And the loop is a little questionable on how it operates and if it's that great. But it does work. But it's the send side of it is not buffered. The return side says recovering gain, but the send side is not buffered. So if you have something that's kind of got a high input impedance, like a pedal or something, you can get away with using it in the loop if it's not, if you're not going to run long cables back and forth.
Jason says the gel, the Jakey Lee is brutal, loves being loud, will never sell it.
Yeah, it does. It is, that describes it pretty well. It's brutal, loves being loud, that's which awesome. Makes sense for Jake.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've gone through all the super chats and questions. Our next guest is Andrew Sinowick. And you guys may be saying, who's Andrew Sinowick? So Andrew, I'm looking up right now online because I want to give you guys some of his credits here. He's a session guitarist from LA. And so he's going to be on the show. He's done all kinds of stuff. He's actually been nominated for Emmys and Grammys and Oscars. And he's got a ton of guitars. And so he's going to be on the show. What day is that? Jeez. I think I know what I'm doing here. I think it was, what we say, July 7th. Yep, that's when it is, July 7th. Okay. So
soon.
Yeah, next week.
Next week.
Okay. Next Friday.
Back them up, one after the other.
Yep, and then we'll take a break after that. But yeah, so Andrew is supposed to be a really cool guy. I follow him on Instagram now, and he just played with Alanis Morissette. He was doing a gig with Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I think he's coming out with a new album too. So in case you guys want to check him out, watch that show. And we'll be talking all kinds of tone and gear and stuff like that. And then I know Dave, you've got a bunch of people lined up.
Yeah, you gotta call Tim Cochran or email, because he, okay. Remember I told you,
yes, yeah,
he had some little personal things that he was dealing with and he didn't get back to us before, but he reached out to me and said, hey, sorry, and I'm back. So okay. The of Timmy fame, he's those pedals are awesome. I always love any pedal he does.
Yeah, I'll have to get his email address from you again.
Okay, I can dig it up.
Okay.
And I know there's all sorts of other people that I've talked to Billy Howerdell from Perfect Circle said he'd come on. So I think that would be a great guy to have on. Wait, there was a bunch of other people I've talked to recently too that were Dexter from The Offspring said he'd come on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can do that. Maybe we can track down Johnny Resnick, who promised to come on too.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to circle back.
And circle back on that. I still like to circle back on Greg Fiddleman, who just did that Metallica record. That might be a fun talk. In fact, I'm going to reach out to him.
Yeah.
Right away, because I think time's right to do that right now. So we got lots of other things in the fire.
Yep. Lots more stuff coming. And
we're busy and we book things at the last second.
Yeah.
Sorry. Essentially.
Yep. But we'll have more guests coming up. And I also want to have, as someone said right here, more Rack Talk with Nielsen and Torin. We're going to have a part two. We've had a lot of...
What are we going to talk about?
I don't know, but we had a lot of people who want to... want to have them back on, and that show is very popular. So I say let's have them both back on.
Here's the whole rack in the box right here. One box.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a question. Did Ola ever get back to you, Dave?
Yeah, Ola got back to me, but Ola wanted to do a show like somehow live together and in the same room, because he doesn't like to do it
like this
remotely that much.
Oh,
so how do you we'll see about that.
Okay.
I got to catch him when he's here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is hard.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to run. I got my daughter here in the other room, so I'm going to go say hi before she takes off. And
all right.
We will we'll pick up next week.
Again, if you guys are going to buy anything or any of my stuff or anything at all, picks, anything, Sweetwater. Yeah. Use our link.
Use our link.
And then also Fix Pedal Boards if you need any pedal board interfaces or brackets or bridges for boards or anything like that. Tim at Fix Pedal Boards will hook you up. They're nice stuff.
Yep. Last question here. How do you like the H90? I hated it and sold it. So
did you ever figure out how it works?
It just, no.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I can't say that the EVH is a lot easier, but yeah, no, it just sounds better too. So, all right. Well, guys, have a great, great weekend. Enjoy. And we'll talk next week.
Awesome.
Have a good one.
See you guys later.